Right, so welcome to Top 10 Gadgets That Change the World. I'm your moderator, Justin Lloyd, and I guess we should start with introductions. Yes?
Yes.
On my left.
Well, even though I don't have a tent, my name really is Bill Gust, and I'm the CEO of a high-tech software company, and I'm the inventor of gadgeteer, and I'm a little bit of a historian, so I really love studying gadgets.
How high-tech is it?
Appropriate technology. I don't believe in high tech, and I don't believe in low tech. I believe in the appropriateness of technology.
I'm Ray Felsenstein, a technological adventurer, looking for work, and designer of lost computers. I strive to design great junk. That is to say, things that are useful after their useful life has been completed. I don't always make it.
I'm Jay Freeman. I'm trained in science. I've worked as a programmer, and I like to play with things.
One of those.
Might I offer a less distracting suggestion? Pull down the tools menu.
What do you want me to do?
Pull down the tools menu.
Okay.
Under options.
Yeah, you want to go full screen, is that
it? No, I don't want to go full screen. One of the things you'll find in there is spelling and grammar checking. Turn it off so we don't see...
Oh, come on. Okay, yeah, actually, I think I've mentally blocked that out by now. Yeah, we're going to find it.
And guess what? We probably do a better job of spell checking than the word processor.
Yeah, I honestly can't see where it would be under.
It's usually where it hides.
Spelling.
There, yeah.
I don't want to get too distracted with this. So, my name is Justin Lloyd, and I am Director of Business Development, CEO, President, whatever you want to call me on the particular day, of a low-tech software company in Los Angeles where we create video games. And I'm interested in gadgets and other inventions and many other fun things too. And this panel comes up on a regular basis at BayCon, and each year they try and recycle the same topic, I'm pretty sure. But this year they try to at least qualify it by saying nothing in pharmacology or biology or medicine. So it has to, you know, generally be a hardware gadget, I'm guessing, of some sort from the description. Either something that we use every day or something that has literally changed the world over the course of its lifespan, even if it's no longer with us.
Does this exclude cyberdeontology?
I don't think it excludes that, but I don't think it's developed enough yet that, you know, it could change the world.
Well, how far back are you going?
Oh, sorry, and it's after the year 1900. If it's very brief, yes.
Oh, yeah, no, I just have my own four ideas. What are you ready for?
Yeah, we'll definitely take comments and questions from the audience.
We've all got a little list.
Yes.
Did your list of numbers?
Okay, so why don't I start on my right this time with Jay?
What do you want?
Okay. What is your number one? All right, let's start at the bottom, actually. What is your number 10 choice for?
I'm not sure I have them sensible order. The order in which I thought of them, there's more than 10, only a few more than 10. The transistor, the Wright Flyer. There's an issue here of, by a gadget, you mean a prototype or a canonical example or a finished, complete product.
Could we say what you mean by gadgets?
Pardon?
Could we say, qualify what we mean?
Yeah, I think we should probably qualify. I mean, the transistor is definitely a great invention, but does it qualify as a gadget? It falls more under technology.
I say so.
You say so.
All right, if you don't like it, I was just listening to things that came to mind.
I was just saying, most of these
gadgets are either much more complicated than a zipper or much less.
Okay, then this is a question, this will take a democratic vote from the audience. If it's a gadget, does it have to be something we would traditionally say, that's a neat gadget? Or is it a machine or other device or piece of technology that we wouldn't necessarily go, that's a neat gadget, but it is a neat invention or piece of equipment?
For instance, does it solve a definite problem by itself, or is it a technology that helps solve the problem?
Right. So is it a comment or a post?
A general comment on that is that I would say almost by definition, something that is a gadget isn't necessarily a world-changing kind of thing, because it's, hey, that's kind of neat, not... wow, I can't live without that.
I agree with that, but what I'm getting at is it something that didn't necessarily change the world, but we're trying to identify those ones that did change the world. But is it something like this, or laptop computer, or a wristwatch, as opposed to...
I would say something that started out as not necessarily recognized as changing the world, but became something.
I think that's separate from what he's asking. I would say it's a gadget. It's not a simple invention. It is a gadget. So
right.
More than one cubic inch, less than one cubic foot.
I don't agree.
No,
he doesn't agree.
I'll just finish my list.
Then you finish your list, then we'll argue over them.
The stuff that occurred to me when I was trying to think of suitable things for this panel, I won't qualify to say these are all bad. The transistor, the Wright Flyer, the Apple II computer, the portable phone, the AK-47, the credit card, television, movies, the Model T Ford, meteorological satellites, and the liquid-fueled rocket motor.
Okay, we can go now.
Thank you.
After. Yeah, he said movies are before 1900.
In that case, I'll make it talkies.
1890.
Commercial talkies, good ones?
Not commercial, the first demonstration.
Good commercial talkies.
29.
I live.
Did we say cordless ones?
Okay, so. Lee, what are yours?
My list is not even 10 long.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I figure we'll probably have a little discussion.
I think we're going to go back and forth. We'll see if we can make...
So, I'm going to... I have written an essay on this, which I plan to put on my blog in the 2004 election. The Eccles-Jordan Bistable Multivibrator Circuit.
I'm not writing that up.
Back when during 2004 election... Flip-flopping was a big problem, supposedly. And so I wrote about how the flip-flop actually brought the element of memory into control, into automatic control of any sort. And showed how...
How flip-flopping can be good.
Yeah, it's like when you can store things, then you have gotten somewhere that you couldn't have gotten before. Okay. Onward. The cell phone, which is best conceptualized as the two-way wrist radio, for those who remember, even though the cell phone is a massive system, not just the gadget you hold in your hand.
Cell phone is actually distinct from the... Well, okay, I was going to...
Well, we'll get the comments.
It's not strictly speaking a two-way wrist radio, I admit. Then, so go to the back of the room. Then there's the bloody PC, and of course I would claim that...
I know.
You know, that wasn't the Apple II.
Sorry, Lee.
In fact, the invention, the addition of memory map video to the PC was the real advancement. I guess you did that. The cathode ray tube, which yes. Turns up in a lot of different places.
Yeah. Was that 1875?
Yeah, that was before 1900.
Long before.
Well, then I'm going to have to split hairs and say the raster scanned cathode ray tube.
Okay. I can't object to that.
Hand calculators, which eliminated the need to do arithmetic.
We will get comments in a minute.
There's a group of gadgets that are meant to replace the need for you to pay attention to media, such as the VCR, TiVo, and so forth, so that when you get the news, you don't have to be there. And someone who, along with that, the answering machine. Over to you.
Hello. I'm sure Liz. The first on my list is the car radio.
In-car radio.
The car radio. The reason is, if you look at, there's a good article about a year and a half ago in Invention Technology. It was an incredibly difficult invention to do, because all this electronics, you know, static things like that. My claim is it changed the world because people got into their cars. It gave advertisers and a lot of other people a chance to talk to you while you're in your car, and therefore change the world. So I claim the car radio. I would also claim the UNIVAC 1. I would not claim the personal computer. The UNIVAC 1 is the first large-scale commercial programmable computer. And I claim that that laid the groundwork for all of the other industries that dealt with computers, including PCs. I will say the global positioning system qualifies. It's not been in existence very long, but it's allowed us to do some really cool commercial stuff that I claim that is changing the world and will continue to change the world more and more. That's my list.
Wow, that's a short list. Actually, I have a short list too. My short list, not not that there aren't better gadgets or I'm going to type my list in a minute. Not that there aren't better gadgets or cooler gadgets out there that really did change the world, but looking at them from a social standpoint, the ones that I came up with, and there doesn't seem to be much intersection between all of our lists other than GPS, believe it or not, iPod, and the infrastructure that goes with it, because it is really making people think about their music and media in a different way. There are other portable media players out there, you know, that came out before the iPod, but the iPod was really the first mass market one that came to public consciousness, that reached that critical mass that said, hey, wow, this is really, really cool. And because we would not be sat here now for, without it.
Be here without the iPod?
No, without the air conditioner. Sorry. They got the joke. I didn't tell the panel. The air conditioner, especially the portable air conditioner. But, you know, movie theaters in the 1950s and 1960s advertised it as much as hotels and coffee shops advertise Wi-Fi today. So that's my very short list. And observing our lists, there's very little intersection between what we think are some of the best gadgets that change the world, which is either a good thing or a bad thing.
Does it add up to 10? You can go home. It does.
Well, we've got more than 10 right here, but maybe now we sort them, maybe now we argue about them.
Well, I would like to inject one meta aspect, which is the question of what is a classic design, and I would posit that classic designs are those which work well, and sometimes work to do less or more than you expect, but they don't have a wow factor, a gee whiz factor. They sort of fall into your hand and you say, yeah, that's how it works, without thinking at all about the fact that it's just changing, it's changing the world, that it's, you know, a marvel. Mm-hmm. You can design plenty of things that look like they're marvels, but they won't gain the kind of acceptance in the way that classic design does. Mm-hmm. It's a desideratum of...
I'm not writing that.
No. It's a trademark. You can't. Okay. So...
GPS.
Okay, we got a number of hands. We got this gentleman here in the front, and I'll go... let me put up your hands so after I make a comment, and then you can put them down and I'll remember you. Okay, this gentleman here in the very front. In the fawn t-shirt.
Yeah, okay. Actually, there's a little more commonality in the list, and these actually fall into a couple of things I thought of. Now, you talk about car radio and television and all. What that really is, in my mind anyway, is the reduction of practice of Maxwell's equations.
The reduction in practice of what?
Maxwell's equations.
And please explain.
Those are the equations that govern the transmission of electromagnetic energy.
Okay.
And sort of that's...
Define the universe.
Yes. Wireless radio, wireless television. It's the same technology. It works the same way. What made that sort of thing practical was the ability to convert back and forth between information... in one medium and electromagnetic information at the source end and the receiving end.
Okay.
I would claim that the telegraph is the first reduction in practice to Maxwell's equations.
They just didn't realize it at the time. In fact, Maxwell hadn't written his equations by then.
Indeed. And the other thing that's operating, and once again it's another reduction in practice argument, you mentioned the Apple II, the PC, UniVac. What in my mind triggered all this was, once again, the reduction to practice of the von Neumann architecture, which states that programs and data are actually interchangeable aspects of the same thing.
Okay.
And that's what essentially triggered the computer revolution. That goes all the way back to ENIAC and BM.
ENIAC never actually was programmed to do stored program computing.
ENIAC had nothing to do with von Neumann architecture.
Von Neumann worked on later versions of ENIAC, and they tried modding it to do it, but it was unsuitable. So eventually Pagianiac was the first one.
Yeah.
So the Vikings, when they raped, pillaged, and razed cities to the ground,
yes,
they were practicing Maxwell's equations. Yes. Okay, we had a comment in the blue t-shirt.
Okay. Well, first off, Tana, you brought up the transistor. What about the vacuum tube?
Not 20th century.
Okay.
It's not 20th century, but about 20 years.
Okay. Wait.
Anything after 1900.
Good candidate.
Fleming's valve. Oh, you're going to say the Edison effect. Okay.
the other thing is, you were saying there's not a lot in common, and that is the Apple II, the bloody PC, and the Univac One. I mean, these are all computers. They are different computers, but every single one of them is computers, and you could argue, why is it the Univac One, not, say, ENIAC, and bloody PC can actually be a distinct category from that, because are you talking about the PC, meaning this thing with this really, really awful, evil architecture from Intel, or are you referring to it as something you can stick in your home?
Back when, sir, we called them PCs before IBM got into it, so it's not that.
Okay.
It's computers that were affordable. And usable in some way.
Think about it this way. Computers that IT had nothing to do with.
It didn't mean IT because you couldn't get it.
We had a comment from the lady here in the gray t-shirt with glasses.
Is the electric refrigerator 20th century?
No. Electric?
Because we had blocks of ice in a box.
But when did you get... And the gas refrigerator prior to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there were electric refrigerators to this, and we were fooling around with them in the 1800s.
Okay. Yeah. And what about the scanning tunneling microscope?
Good candidate. Could you say how it changed the world?
Huh?
Can you tell me how it changed the world?
It basically allowed us to view the world at an atomic level. We can't control things that we can't.
So were there things that it enabled that you had to worry? Were there specific things you could give us an example of that it enabled?
It allowed us to write the letters IBM in very, very small chunks and
patterns. we can actually make molecular size machines now.
Okay. Yeah. So it may be a precursor for molecular machines.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And then we had another comment. Wait a minute. Right here in the gray t-shirt. Yes, go ahead, sir.
I want to support the scanning tunneling microscope because it changed our perceptions of what was possible. A lot of people thought the atomic level was, you know, beyond our direct reach, and here you could reach down and touch the atoms and move them. So if changing perceptions is changing the world, the STM definitely counts. Mm-hmm. Along the same lines, I might add the Apollo program. The first footstep on the moon didn't accomplish much practical, that came with the later missions, but it sure got the world's attention. Finally, if GPS is a gadget, I would claim that Alta Vista is also a gadget that changed the world.
So you mean search engines or...
Search engines. Okay. Alta Vista was probably the first one that showed, yes, you really could index hundreds of millions of pages. Mm-hmm. Google is better now, but Alta Vista...
It's a refinement of a solution, is what you're saying. Google is a refinement of a solution.
Google is more than a refinement, but Alta Vista was the first one that showed it could be done.
Yeah, Alta Vista was definitely the search engine that I used. I will get to you. We had a comment from... Yes, Hugh. I can't hear you, so you have to pick up.
I'm surprised the atomic bomb didn't make the list.
And it was called gadget.
No.
Suitcase?
No. Just they refer to it as gadget.
Wait, I'll get back to you. So, was that your complete comment?
Yes.
Okay. Briefly from...
Second the motion.
You second the motion. Okay, then we had one from... Yes, go ahead.
I want to put a modifier on a previously suggested one. Now, I wouldn't quite consider a transistor a gadget, but the transistor radio.
Is it Josh?
You seen the first transistors?
No. okay, we had one from back there, and then we go back to the panel. Yes, sir.
Two things. One would be the Pento tube.
Pento?
Why Pento? P-E-N-T-O.
P-E-N-T-O.
I'm getting five people telling me how to spell it. Okay.
P-E-N-T-O-D-E.
Once more.
P-E-N-T-O. As in five.
Pento.
There's diodes.
I'm deaf.
Diodes and pentos.
Pento. Yes. Sorry, I'm deaf, and I've never heard of it, so that's weird.
Okay, that's the first one where we got really high gain and let us build a lot of the modern circuitry, such as one of my other suggestions, which is the regenerative receiver, which allows us to, or not regenerative, the, excuse me, the heterodyne transceiver.
Super head receiver. Well,
super heterodyne, yeah, which lets us do most of our things that we're doing with radio and television, GPS. All these are based on using heterodyne receivers, where we operate it at the exact frequency. We beat it against another frequency, and we take the difference frequency to a level, to a frequency range that we can use.
Okay. So, of all the gadgets that we've mentioned, and I have the list, which we can quickly zip back to, we have Jay's, just as a refresher, if you want to glance briefly at this projector, which is why I tried to put it on that wall, so we could all see it. We have Jay's list, and then we have Lee's list, and now we have Philip's list, and my brief list. What on those gadgets, this is for the panel, I will get to you, sir, I'll remember your hand. What on those lists would we say they really did change the world? They really did. Without them, the world would be a fantastically different place. Actually, I'm going to move these gadgets down here so we can see them all on the single page.
So this is for the panel. We're supposed to.
This is for the panel.
Right.
What gadget on out of all these gadgets changed the world so much that without it, it would be vastly different?
I would probably say the Model T, actually. Wish that it weren't the case, but it was.
Would you say, why would you say the Model T? I mean, there were other car manufacturers out there at the time.
In terms of,
Ford didn't really pioneer the production process.
Right.
So,
but that was, as the designer of a portable computer, and there had been other people who put handles on computers, but I claim that because it was successful in the market, it counts.
Okay.
And so the Model T was a breakthrough in that regard in terms of volume and acceptability and price.
The only question I have is between the A and the T.
The A came later. T was first.
I know, but I mean, did the was it really the A that did it, or was it the T the precursor of what? That's all.
Well, I'll just argue that the T was the precursor that created the phenomenon. The A built upon it.
Okay.
So you're arguing that the Model T was the breakout product that was accepted by the mass market.
That's
much
correct.
Like the iPod. There were PMPs before the iPod and media players, but...
Yeah, and the whole world went to
automobiles.
Sorry? The first...
What do I call it? A niche killer?
Yeah. Niche killer.
Niche definer.
Niche definer.
It becomes the prototype for its class.
Yes.
And you can trace all manner of things, most of the mischief to this. It definitely has effect.
One of the effects it had was training a vast number of Americans in the campus.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true.
Philip, I can scroll back to the list if you want to.
Well, I go back to the car radio because it happened at just a particular time where, this is like in the 30s, mm-hmm. where it really became practical, where people were just starting to build a lot of roads, the cars were becoming ubiquitous. The interstate highway system was still about 20 years off.
Mm-hmm.
But my claim is that cars may or may not be what they are today without the car radio for long-distance travel.
Can I ask you what happened because of car radio?
Yeah, two things happened. One is longer trips became practical because there were radio stations along the way that people could listen to. There was no other form of entertainment. People at that time, radio was their entertainment. They were used to hearing things. And my claim is that the use of the car radio really made it practical for people to tolerate that kind of long travel. Regardless of how terrible the reception was, you could go from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
The national networks were available at that time.
Yeah, I know, and there's radio and trains.
So you could pick up local news,
you
local
could pick
weather.
Up local weather, think, all kinds of, but from an economy standpoint, advertisers were able to sponsor, reach much, much larger audiences as a result of that, and eventually the commute audience.
Well, okay, and I think you can't point to data on that, but I don't think
that's
what we did here.
That's not what we're trying to do.
This is statements.
Yeah.
These are statements and opinions.
Yeah.
Anything off of that particular list for you, Jay, that you would say, if it didn't exist, it would have never changed, you know, the world wouldn't have changed that much?
Well, I think the liquid fuel rocket motor, just because it led to the Apollo program. And believe me, the stuff that Goddard first flew, the idea was 19th century, Tsiolkovsky, but the first implementation was Goddard in the 1920s. You saw what he flew, I don't think there's any question you'd call it a gadget.
Although, you know, that rocket was about 10 feet tall.
Yes.
And it flew about 180 feet.
It looked like the Tin Woodman on drugs.
Yep. I actually built a three-quarter scale of it once.
Oh, wow.
And I flew it, and it got to 200 feet, and it fell apart just like the real one.
Yes.
So it worked perfectly.
It was a perfect recreation.
It was a perfect recreation.
High five.
Yes.
For my invention, I think we're still waiting for... the world to change, and I picked GPS out of the entire list. We're seeing small changes right now, but I really do believe that with GPS in the future, it will change. It's already changed the world of shipping and aviation.
Talk about it.
It's already changed the world of shipping and aviation. There's not a ship in the world now that doesn't make use of GPS. In fact, I will get to you. I've got a question over here, and I'll get to you after this statement. There's not a ship in the world, and there are many areas of the world where you cannot go if you have a boat that does. If your boat does not have GPS enabled, the Thames estuary and the English Channel being two of those locations, because they're the busiest shipping lanes in the world. How it's going to change is when we start seeing them in cell phones. They're already appearing in cars right now. When we start seeing them built into laptops, when we start seeing them where GPS is so cheap, so prevalent, that it becomes, oh, you know, I forgot where I left my car keys. No, I didn't. When we start seeing them in people, that's really when it's going to start changing. When we start seeing them in everyday objects, when we start seeing them, like much like RFID is about to start taking off right now, I think the location awareness of objects will change far more than what an object is.
I don't think it's going to change how people do things. It'll change what people do.
Yes.
And in that case, it's...
It's an enabling technology rather than a restructuring technology.
But you see a bunch of it now. There's a technology at HP called CoolTown that they sort of prototype. Mm-hmm. That was basically walking by a restaurant. You can find out what's good. They can make you off, reach out.
Prepare yourselves for the next wave of cell phone spam when you start getting them with GPS enabled.
It's basically location awareness.
It's there now and has been for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I would say that certainly GPS is in the process of revolutionizing warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And making it much more affordable to the ordinary person.
To the smaller nation state.
You only get an accuracy of, I don't know, 50 feet or something, but if you want to create an effect that is good over that 50 feet, then you're on. You've got it.
Yep. Okay, we have we had one from the guy in the black shirt at the behind, and then one from the one with the bandana, and then we over to the right, and then back to the left. So, black shirt.
Can I still submit more suggestions? I had a couple, like the GPS or iterative suggestions, but microwave oven.
Microwave oven definitely changed for the first time in 2,000 years how we cook our food.
And then the other one was you mentioned catheter ray tube, that one, but how about the LCD?
I thought about that, and it's got you got a good point there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's what we're looking at right now, and
I'm looking at an LCD, and you guys are actually looking at an LCD.
Yes.
It's just light projected through it.
And perhaps also an LED.
Yep. Okay, we had a question from the bandana.
I was going to amplify on the airplane with the right glider. But to comment on what you had just said, I have both in Europe and in Japan been spammed as I walk down the street by a store I'm approaching by myself.
Yep.
Yes, and that was started 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yep. Had a comment from the gentleman at the back. Yeah, you.
On the GPS, it has already vastly revolutionized warfare. The first Gulf War, where the Americans attacked through the desert and the Iraqis were not even contemplating that because nobody could navigate through that terrain because there were no landmarks, no way to find where you were, but the Americans had GPS and came in that way. The other is we now have GPS-guided bombs. We're using them for unmanned aerial vehicles of various sorts. We're now going to use them for unmanned ground vehicles and things. So it has radically changed that warfare.
Mm-hmm. Right. We had a comment from the gentleman in the blue t-shirt right here. Yes, you, sir.
Philip, you seem to be focused on the car radio. I will note that long trips were very possible before then, only typically what you read was made out of paper, since you kind of first bring stuff all the way back to the coast to coast railroads, people traveled on that despite the lack of radio.
Well,
and then sort of jumping back to radio, you bring up the iPod was brought up. Aren't these really the exact same thing? I mean, if you think of a handheld radio that you can carry around, it is a handheld mm-hmm. entertainment device. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Walkman.
Yeah.
You could argue
The Walkman is the 1980s version of the 1950s version of the portable transistor radio for the youth of the day.
Or the portable cassette player.
Or the portable cassette player.
Real tape player.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about reading things on paper, I think we've come full circle, because if anybody's ever commuted on the 405, I regularly see people driving and reading the newspaper.
What I will say in defense of the car radio is do a thought experiment. Turn it off worldwide. What kind of problems, social problems, do you think it's going to cause now, because people have assimilated and used the car radio in all kinds of ways that the originators could not possibly imagine? Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing, by the way, that the phenomenon that happened pre-car radio, or at least while I was still coming on, was people would pick up hitchhikers so they could talk.
Yeah.
And that's got as good an upside as a downside.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we had a comment from the blue t-shirt.
I wanted to add something more mundane. Nylons, synthetic fabrics, synthetic ropes.
Is nylons 19th century or 20th century? Because I know...
Nylon's 20th. Because nylon is plastic that wasn't created.
It's a petrol plastic.
Okay, it was definitely 20th century. I know it was like very early.
It was post-war.
Nylons, and what was the other statement?
Synthetic fabric and synthetic ropes. I mean, the stuff that tugboats use nowadays is like nylon.
So like they couldn't use anything before that? I doubt it.
Not at that scale. I mean, hemp rope pulling a 20,000-ton...
They use multiple hemp ropes in this case, yeah.
They use wire rope.
A wire, yeah.
I put a lot of ropes.
I didn't have it in the 19th century.
Right. Okay, we had a comment from the gray t-shirt.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest ropes be re-added on the iPod.
Okay.
On the iPod, it was the first music player that was small enough to really fit into a pocket without taking up the whole pocket and then some. It was all solid state and you didn't have to carry a separate...
I would beg to differ with that. I have a 19th century example that is also memory limited.
It required no action on the part of the user to music.
Prior to the iPod, years before the iPod, Arcos and a number of other people came out with MP3 players and media players that were either hard drive or solid state. They just were not very good.
I meant iPod as distinct from Walkman or
But I understand what you're saying, as in it is a solid state or hard drive based machine as distinct from a Walkman. What I'm getting at is that two or three years prior to the iPod appearing on the market, I had a 6 gigabyte hard drive MP3 player that ran on 4 AA cells.
Right.
Okay, I'd just like to jump in and say I would, listening to the discussion about the Walkman and so forth, and say, hey, the Philips tape cassette itself.
The compact cassette.
Made tape recording capability sort of universally available. Then you didn't have to thread the tape and so forth. So just come that
out. Wait a minute. We got a comment here in the red shirt.
If you're going to allow things like nylons and fabrics, you're looking for things that change the world. And I think this is 19th century. I think it's like 1920s.
That would be 20th century, I hope.
1900s. 1920s. I think the introduction, universal use, or the attempt to of chlorine in the water probably was one of the... It's kind of like AC in a sense, is that it allowed people to survive in conditions.
That would be biology.
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah, I think that phones on to that. Jay, go ahead.
One of the interesting things, I was very intrigued by the idea of this panel. I spent a while thinking about it. And I kept looking for stuff that was simple mechanical stuff at the level of a zipper. You go back 100 years, take it the 19th century instead of the 20th, there are all kinds of relatively simple mechanical contrivances that are good candidates for a discussion such as this. I wasn't able to think of any, really, for the 20th century. The closest I could get was the liquid fuel rocket motor and perhaps the transistor. One thing that I wish I had more knowledge, I was wondering if there were any similar mechanical contrivance sort of gadgets which have been important to the third world. Much of what we have here, I'm hit primarily in the very developed world. I'm wondering, is there anything that a farmer in Bangladesh would use every day that's critical and that would class as a 19th century gadget?
20th.
No, I by analogy. Something invented in the 20th century, but it's the same sort of gestalt as a 19th century gadget.
Yes. Maybe the automatic look valve.
Okay. Got your hands, so I will get to you. You don't need to keep your hands up. Okay, we had a comment from the guy in the form shirt very quickly because we are running on time.
Seconding the motion on synthetic networks. Prior to that, the concept of airborne assault troops and airborne materials delivery was pretty much unthinkable because there wasn't enough natural fabric suitable for building parachutes.
Does everybody agree with that?
There weren't very many aviators.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Could the Berlin airlift have happened on Silk Along?
Berlin airlift is not done with parachutes.
That's right.
It's done with transport aircraft.
Yes.
When they crashed, they didn't.
We have a lot of refutation on that and rebuttals on that. Okay.
Nonsense!
Do we have any questions for the panel rather than commentary on objects that we've discussed so far? Because I feel like the panelists are up here like not expounding on the expertise that they carried with them. Okay. Then in that case, we had... okay, I've lost my track. There was a... Yes, the guy in the blue T-shirt with... Yes, you, sir.
The thing that I was thinking is, I don't like car radio very much, but I think mass media, though I don't know if that really qualifies as a gadget in fact, but I think mass broadcast media has had a mass impact.
Just radio.
Does fall under radio and television. Got you.
Yeah.
Okay, we had one in the black T-shirt with a beard. Yes?
One of the things I do see here is, when we go through a number of these, is a lot of these gadgets are made possible because of previous gadgets that allow for a trend of miniaturization. As we went from large vacuum tubes to smaller vacuum tubes that have more elements in them, to the transistor, the integrated circuit, and these allowed a lot of these things. So like our first computer is very large, the next one now is the size of a desk. Now we have them that will fit in the palm of our hand. It allows things like the iPod, which is a little computer, allows for things like with large tubes you couldn't have made a car radio.
Okay, this is all true, but what he's saying is the technology.
Yeah.
How can we make that as one of the themes for gadgets, is this concept of miniaturization that allows more facility?
I don't think anybody woke up one morning and said, hey, we can make things smaller.
Well, back in the 80s, there was actually a retrograde step, and we made boomboxes very much larger.
That's right.
We had a comment, the gray T-shirt right back there. You, sir?
Jay had mentioned something simple as like a zipper or something. I forget it. How about Velcro?
Yeah.
Oh,
Velcro.
Yeah.
Velcro.
You got it, yeah.
And I actually...
Velcro was not invented after 1900. I believe it's pre-1900.
Oh, no.
No, it's a modern invasion.
It was developed in space programs.
And it's with synthetics. It's just...
Yes.
No, it was not developed in space programs. Maybe practical Velcro.
So what was it? When was it developed?
Do you have a date? Otherwise, we're going to have to refute it.
Practical Velcro. Actually, the ideas behind Velcro, I believe it was the 1800s, where it was a little... the guy who did it came with little burrs.
Right. I remember that. But the point was that they even tried that during the Korean War. They tried to build... fasteners that would have the same kind of burr-like thing, and they were never able to get them to hold very well. It was very, very poor bonding. Velcro was the first practical on that could withstand very, very large shearing stress.
How about for Velcro? I'm
it was sure invented by Georges de Mestral, a Swiss engineer, 1941. Do not argue with the man with
we
the internet.
No, it's true. It's on the computer.
And it's on the internet, so it's got to be true. Right. We had a comment from the guy in the black t-shirt right here, and then we're back to the right-hand side. Actually, yeah, we're back to the right-hand side. We'll get to you. You're about the third one down.
I'm wondering about something that you all may have used that in your work, which would be maybe logic testers or compilers, which really is a production tool.
Logic testers and compilers?
Well, they're
fall under gadgets?
Well, I have my opinion of compilers, but you don't want to.
I would say a compiler is a neat tool.
It's a tool, yeah.
Okay, so we had a... Just trying to track the hands. It was the guy in the blue right at the back, and then we're coming forward again.
Sorry, I got a little late, so I'm not sure in the earlier list if you listed the laser.
We did not list the laser.
Should we?
Should we? Is the laser diode, perhaps?
A diode laser for recording and so forth, and for transmission.
It's
but did it change the world?
Oh, yeah. Well, it forms a basis. It's now the basis of our communication system, which allows the internet.
Well, that's,
I would not be able to watch my imported Japanese adult anime without the laser.
There we are.
A lot of the TV broadcasts are sent initially over
Yeah, but it's not something that wasn't possible before.
Well, like barcodes and stuff like that changed the way people work.
Yeah,
barcode tracking.
I think laser definitely qualifies. Comment from the gentleman here in the front.
Jace list, it seems like I can tell all these things, but the AK-47 is kind of like...
It's the poor man's...
How did that change?
It's an enabling technology for revolution. They've been built by the I think something tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of AK-47s have been built. And it was interesting, a year or two ago I heard an interview with Kalashnikov, who was still alive at the same time. He was a very congenial sort of guy, and I shouldn't say heard, it was translated from the Russian. He said he thought the world would be much better off if he'd invented a lawnmower.
Okay, we had one in the gray t-shirt on the second row.
Yeah, aluminum-based antiperspirants.
Which I could use right about now.
So without those, what was not possible?
Pharmaceutical area?
I don't think it's a gadget.
Okay.
Is it a gadget?
That's a gadget. Aluminum-based antiperspirant in a tube. That's a gadget.
Aerosol cans.
Bingo. Yeah. Aerosol cans might a tube dispenser, though I'm not sure it's 20th century.
But the aerosol can in general.
Aerosol can is a good candidate.
Should we amend it to aerosol can?
Yeah.
That's the candidate.
No.
Okay. You definitely want your.
Yes.
I'm going to quote it because we're not actually sure, and we're going to put aerosol can. Okay, gentleman in the bandana.
Photocopier.
Yes.
The photocopier.
The printing press was good. The photocopier is almost as good.
And from that came the fax.
Yep.
Definitely. Okay, we got one over here on the right. It did actually. You're correct. The fax is a lot older.
Scratch the fax.
Yeah. Yeah, you are correct. It was proven to work over telegraph.
Go ahead. That many people in here have used that hasn't been put on the list. Television.
We did have one on the list. It's on Jay's. We had I will just. No, we actually have television, I believe.
Yes, here we go. Yes, right here.
Okay, we're right here at the front, and then back to you, lady, and then back again.
Post-it notes. Change the world.
Yes.
Definitely. And all of the technology that came out of post-it notes, actually. Little bookmark sticky things and all the other fun things that came out of those that glue research.
Why
wait, no.
Wait,
you're way down on the list. Sorry, sir.
Neon sign.
18th century. No. They had it in Deadwood.
Okay.
Would Vegas be the same without them? Gentleman in the blue denim. Gentleman in the blue denim. Go ahead, sir.
Radar had a significant effect. I mean, the book on it, it's one of the several books saying they eventually changed the world. And they make the point. I guess they're talking about microwaves more than anything else.
Microwave. Okay. Ballpoint pen.
Ballpoint pen.
I was going to suggest that.
I think the big pen was like 1950s.
There were ballpoint pens before then, but I'm not sure how far before.
It was patented in Argentina, as I recall. I just wanted to tell the story. And I was started using
first pens. Patent on a ballpoint pen was 1888.
Oh.
You know what? We had a bad
mistake. Okay, we had one on. Did I miss something? Yes, the guy in the bandana, right? You had a comment? Oh, you'd already. No, sorry. Sorry, I had to go up on the left hand side.
Okay. There's a funny story about ballpoint pens. They signed the patent for it, and the pen leaked, and it ruined the patent. They had to reprint.
Is that apocryphal? Or?
Of course.
Well, you know, there's an observation here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Many of the things that we've been calling out as possible candidates turn out to be pre-1900. Maybe the observation here is that a timescale of a century is too short to decide what's changed the world.
Yeah, you said something about 100 years ago they were this, that, and the other, and that you were short. You were back in the 20th century. It slipped up on us.
We have one here in the gray shirt, and then I'll stop moving back and then to the left.
The pill.
Wait, before we shoot him down, the pill, why? Not, you know, you're talking about the pill as in birth control or the pill as in something you swallow?
As in birth control.
Falls under pharmacology.
All right. But let me say, can you put search engines up?
The search engine fall under
Optimistic. Yeah, optimistic.
Okay. Lady here, you had a comment? No. And so we had one more on the right hand side.
And up front here.
Yeah, up front here. Sorry.
No, just I the young fellow on the left.
No, there was this gentleman here on the end of the row. Yes, sir.
He was yes.
No.
Nope.
I end of the row. You
yeah.
Me
go
now.
Ahead. Yes. Yeah, sorry.
I just got to say the whiteout changed my life.
It's a question. It's a 20.
Well, before that, it was carbon paper, right?
No, I mean, no.
And that kind of stuff. Oh, sorry, no, I'm confusing. Liquid. Yes, whiteout, liquid paper, whiteout, liquid paper, tipping.
Before that, it was Thorflu.
I'll tell you what they used to use. What they used to have was a little piece of tape, white tape that you would glue over, and that was 19th century.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Wait a minute. One on the left over here. I know there's somebody with their hand up over on the left. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Well, I was going to contest the aerosol can because I'm thinking of how, like, are you thinking.
Go ahead.
Some way to pressurize, like a fire extinguisher that was
Okay, so we've answered that question. Aerosol can stay on the list. We have one here in the front, and then I'll get to you.
I'm not sure, like, how much this was used or the change, but double-sided tape.
Double-sided tape. I think it has yet to come into its own.
has double-sided sticky tape changed the world?
I do have one for you.
If you have badges at fan conventions, yes. Because
let's not get stuck on adhesives.
Super glue.
Yeah, definitely.
That whole family of adhesives.
Yeah.
Hot milk glue.
We had a comment here at the front.
I think we want to take search engine Alta Vista off because it's an application of software, not a gadget itself.
Wait a minute. The Alta Vista was a chip that they were trying to show what it could do with the search engine.
I did not know that.
Okay.
Okay, we had one more on the... No.